A bright good morning to everyone. Thank you to the worship team that puts us in a frame of mind of worshiping. It's so beautiful to do that. And I think a special clap of hands for those youth that has really inspired us today. That was so beautiful. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Let's just ask God's blessing on this message. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your eyes, our loving and merciful God. Speak to us as you have spoken through your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray it. Amen. How do you understand the kingdom of God? Now, I know there are many rough spots in my life, and I realize that I need to change my thinking about all these things that's happening, this physical life that I'm in. Now, that's quite a challenge. At some point in your and my spiritual life, you always wonder, this spiritual journey, what is life all about? Where is it going and where will it end up? Now, I know that through the church, we've always been told, read the scripture. The answers are there. Why? Because even the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? We don't understand it. Let's go to Matthew 13:11. What was Jesus' answer? Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Do you know the mysteries? Is that where we're going? In James we read, when we pray sincerely and ask God for wisdom, yes, we will get the wisdom. And it's revealed in the scripture. Let's move down and page down to Matthew 19:14. Matthew 19:14. Here is another one that I could not really grasp. It says, let the children come to me and don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven. Look at that. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children, these that were playing today. Do they understand it? Now I'm going to do a little bit of an exercise and I want everyone to participate. I want everyone just to look down at your feet. Everyone look down on your feet and I want you to imagine something. Look down at your feet and say you're standing in front of an elevator. And all of a sudden, the person joins you next to you. The elevator door goes up, open. You get in, and you press the button to the 10th floor. And the person next to you says, oh, I'm going to the 10th floor too. And the person says to you, are you a believer? Then you say, yes, I am. And the person says, I also would like to become a believer. But I have a few questions that really and truly in my mind I cannot explain. Can you quickly tell me what does it mean? The door closes, up you go to the 10th floor, and he says, what does Jesus mean, or what did Jesus mean to say, let your kingdom come? Also, next question. Was this really God's kingdom? Next question. What is the kingdom of Christ then? Next question. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Then the last question. Is the kingdom already here? Where is it if it's here? Can you explain to me very quickly before we get out? Now you all said, I'm a believer. Can you do that very quickly? You've got 10 floors of time to explain that very quickly. Well, you mumble a few words and you say, God, help me. That's what I do. Help me. God calls people out of this world, you say. He molds them to become more and more into the image of Christ to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a blurb that you will tell this person. Let's page 2, Ephesians 5:5. Because the person's kingdoms are there. How many kingdoms really are there? Ephesians 5:5 says, no immoral or impure or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Here's the kingdom of Christ and of God. So the Bible talks about two. And then Jesus comes and he says, the kingdom of God is within you. How many kingdoms are there in total then? Are you ready, if this happens to you in that short period of time when you're rising up to the 10th floor? You said you're a believer. You said that you are really and truly understand the scripture. Now, it happens. You arrive at the 10th floor. You haven't really and truly satisfied the person's complete answers. And you say, God, I need to speak to this person because this person is seeking. And you arrange to see this person after the meeting in about an hour downstairs for a coffee. So an hour later, you sit down and you look at the person inside the eyes. Eye contact. And now you have already prepared a few things. You really and truly would like to make this person to understand what is the kingdom of God. Let's go to Exodus 19:5. God promised Israel, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. We talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom is within you. Now he's talking about the kingdom of priests. The kingdoms just keep on going. You ask, would you like to be one of those to be in the kingdom or as a kingdom of priests? Yes. Now Jesus taught, and now you continue to explain. Jesus taught in two short parables about the connection of total commitment and the relationship with God to enter into the kingdom. Let's page to Matthew 13:44-49. God's kingdom, yes, Jesus. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. Remember, it's a treasure. A treasure hidden in a field. One day a man found the treasure. He hid it again and was so happy, he went and sold everything. He sold everything that he owned and he bought that field. Jesus continued with the next one. Also, God's kingdom is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. One day he found a very fine pearl. He went and sold everything. What did he sell? Can I hear it? Everything. Everything he had to buy it. Jesus continued. The kingdom of God is like a net that was put into the lake. The net caught many different kinds of fish. The fishermen put all the good fish in baskets. Then they threw away the bad fish. Then angels will come and separate the evil people from godly people. So it is a preparation towards the end in order to become the kingdom of priests. The person is looking you in the eyes, very eager to hear more. And you say, Jesus is not talking about money and possessions in these parables. He's saying that if we truly understand who he is and what really matters in this life, we will begin to understand the mystery that he was referring to. To you was given the mystery. And what is it to have a relationship with Jesus? Then and only then will we, with joy, forsake everything and follow him. That's the treasure at the end. Now, both these men in the parable sold all they had. They knew that that hidden treasure in that field and that pearl was worth far more than their earthly possessions. Was it risky for them? Of course. Very risky. Did it require commitment? Did it require faith? Yes. It was either all or nothing. What did they sell? Let me hear it again. They sold everything. Either all or nothing. And I'm looking at my possessions. Sell all or nothing. Actually, a scary thought. If you think about it. Debbie, if you haven't heard last week's sermon about what Debbie was telling about how God demolishes us, go back to our website, nlchristian.ca. It is beautiful. Total commitment means repent and total surrender. Total surrender. Either all or nothing. Many see this total commitment as a legalistic or as a form of self-denial. But total surrender is what God wants from each and every one of us. The elevator friend is looking in your eyes, eager that you tell this person more. Why, he said, why is it that God wants from each and every one of us total surrender? Because God wants us to get His very best and the biggest blessing to enter into this kingdom of God. All or nothing. Jesus said, if you love your father and mother more than me, you're not worth following me. And if I look at my father and mother in the eye and say, sorry, I don't love you as much as what I love Jesus, I wonder what will their response be. But that's what Jesus is saying. I believe that Jesus is saying, if we obey His commands and surrender all, we'll get a treasure that is unspeakable. More than relationship with people and earthly possessions. Jesus also said to that young man, go and sell everything and come and follow me. Now, when I started putting all these together, I looked at all this and I get shivers if I just look at this, what is really revealed in Scripture. Now, you can see your elevator's friend is now really and truly looking in you in the eye. And you say, we have to uplift and encourage one another because it's exciting to serve people with the gifts and the talents that God has granted us to elevate others. Because if we go to the next scripture, this is what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:10. Use whatever gift you've received for the good of one another so that you can show yourselves to be good stewards of God's grace in all its varieties. Can that drink sink into your mind? Drink it in. Use whatever gift you receive for the good of one another so that you can show yourselves to be good stewards of God's grace in all its varieties. The scripture makes it clear that the present age is going to close with, as they say, with a big bang, with a tremendous conflict between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. But, here's the good news. God is slowly molding the believers. Are you a believer? You said you're a believer. You say to your friend, I'm a believer. God is slowly molding each one of us to become His army. Onward, Christian soldiers marching forward. Jesus is leading us. Those who have accepted Christ as King, we are building on a solid rock. Not slippery and slopey area. Solid rock. And the kingdom of God is working in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the person looking at you in the eye? You're explaining these things very quickly. You don't have much time. Literally, we are troops. God wants us to give ourselves to Him. Not our talents, not our possessions, not our strength, just us. You, as an individual, give yourself either all or nothing to God. We are to be free will offerings. Nothing is forced upon us. God never forces. He only forced three people to come to Him. We can discuss that later. Now your elevator friend is getting really inspired. Looking what now? What is the next step? And you tell your friend that you study. When I studied the Bible, I had these same questions. The kingdom of God, is it already here? I asked that question. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of Christ? What is the kingdom that is within me? What is the kingdom about that the children will understand? What is the kingdom of priests? I had those same questions. I'm a believer. And it's a mystery. But, my friend, we do not need to understand this mystery fully. But God wants us total commitment offered to Him in order to be part of this kingdom. Jesus wants us to put Him first in all our desires, all our success, all our possessions, all our relationships. He is first and utmost in our lives. The farmer went and sold everything. Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of God, and these will be given to you. What? The pearl? The treasure? And as I was studying and putting this together, it's becoming clear what Paul meant. We must not look at the scene, the surroundings around me, but look at the unseen. Look at the unseen. And all these things will be given to you. Let's page down to 2 Corinthians 5:17. When anyone is in Christ, it is a whole new world. The old things are gone. Suddenly, everything is new. Suddenly, everything is new. And the person is looking at you. I want that. I want to experience that. I want to know more about it. And I said to the friend, and you can say to the friend, I realized that I was looking in the challenges that I have in this physical world. I was looking at my challenges. I was looking at the physical circumstances around me, and I had so many questions, and I never looked at the final destination. I looked at the obstacles that were slippery, sliding, instead of the solid rock of the destination that we are going to. You ask your friend, are you concerned about life? Have you thought of your final destination? Because you're obviously seeking to be a believer. Have you thought of your final destination, my friend? Would you like to be in God's kingdom? Yes, yes, he says. I don't know what it will be like. Can you explain it to me? Would you like to be the kingdom of Christ as a priest, as we started off in the beginning? Yes. Let's go to Revelations 26 and 7. I shortened it a bit. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him. Now the next one. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. So there is a certain responsibility that is now with us as believers. And you say, all things belongs to Christ. But we will be co-heirs of Christ. Let's read what foundation. What foundation will we stand on? The surroundings around us on the slippery road? Or will it be on the rock? Revelation 21, 1 and 2. I shortened it again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Don't look at the circumstances and the slippery slope. And I've gone through all this in my life. I've gone through it. The slippery slopes that I was walking on. The mistakes I've made. I never looked at the unseen. Until God speaks to you deep in your heart. Don't look at the obstacle. But look at the final destination. What will it be like? Let's go and see. Would you like to have a solid rock foundation to have in future in a kingdom that is undescribable? No eye has seen, no ear has heard what Paul wrote. What is waiting for us? The unseen. Gorgeous. Beautiful. Exciting. Let's page to Revelation 21, 18 to 20. The city having the glory of God, her light is like the most precious jewel. There's the jewel that Jesus talked about. The most precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. The city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The foundations of the wall. Now, talking about, we're going to build a wall, we're going to build a wall, we're going to build a wall. How about this wall, the unseen, that we are not concentrating on? The foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all kinds of precious jewels. Sell everything. Why? Because that's what's waiting for us, every believer in Jesus Christ. The first foundation was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was agate. The fourth was emerald. The fifth was onyx. The sixth was carnelian. The seventh was yellow quartz. The eighth was beryl. The ninth was topaz. The tenth was chrysoprase. The 11th was jacinth. And the 12th was amethyst. Now just think of all these layers of these pearls. We don't even know 3/4 of them. But you can imagine, that is our new kingdom that we are standing on in an unseen world. Not the slippery slope around us. Imagine this glorious kingdom that's built on Christ the rock. Revelation 22:1. Then the angel showed me a pure river, the water of life as a crystal flowing from the throne of God. There's God's kingdom. Flowing from the throne of God. And from the Lamb. There is the kingdom of Christ. And the Lamb and the Spirit, that is the Spirit within us. The bride say, come. Everyone who hears this should say, come, all who are thirsty, come to me. They can have the water of life as a free gift if they want it. Now look at your friend in the eye. Would you like to be part of that kingdom? Would you like to be a priest in that environment? Who will say no? You're speaking to a person that is seeking. You had a very short time period to explain to this individual about the kingdom of God. The most wonderful kingdom of all kingdoms. Here's advice to your elevator's friend. It boils down to one word. Surrender. Either all or nothing. Surrender. A person can't enter into the kingdom of God when you believe and a person can only enter into the kingdom when you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your King. Only then you receive the Holy Spirit, that is the kingdom within you. And Christ, who came already as the kingdom, is preparing us. We're marching forward with the Holy Spirit, which is the kingdom within us, which are training us to become kingdoms of priests in the kingdom of God to come. Those who are willing to accept this change and are ready act upon it, they are the people God uses to change the course of direction from this physical challenges that we have to the spiritual breakthroughs. Physical challenges, slippery road, circumstances, problems, headaches, to a spiritual breakthrough from the unseen, from the seen to the unseen. That's a challenge. We as human beings find that as a challenge, from the seen to the unseen. We need to change, and that's very challenging. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. The kingdom of God within us. Become still. Study the scripture. Ask for wisdom. Let's page to Psalm 139:23-24. God, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out everything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life into the kingdom of God. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. Wow. You explain to your friend, when you fully understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when you fully grasp that and you can wrap your mind around the Trinity, then you will also understand the kingdom that is within you, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of priests. It's a process. It's a mystery. Not everyone understands it. You say to your elevator friend, get the inside kingdom here. Get the inside kingdom correct, and the outside kingdoms will take care of itself. God uses time to make these changes in our lives, to shape our souls. What is God's favorite tool to do that? To hammer you with a hammer? To give you challenges? No, He's using time. That's why we're physical. God is using time to train us to walk and trust and have faith in Jesus. God gives us this time to grow spiritually in the knowledge of Christ. But we have to surrender. If you don't surrender, you will not understand it. Let's page to 1 Peter 1:13. So prepare. Page 1 Peter 1:13. So prepare your minds for service with complete self-control. Put all your hope in the grace that will be yours. It will be yours. Drink that in. It will be yours when Jesus Christ returns. I can't wait for that. That foundation with all those beautiful pearls. Everything is waiting for us in the unseen. We must ask Jesus, what do I need to change that will glorify our Father in heaven during this physical time? Yes, I know there are many rough spots in my life. Yes, I realize that I have to change my thinking. Yes, I know that I have to really and truly drink in God's Word. Focus on the unseen, because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom that lives within us is what life is all about. Because we shall dwell in this kingdom of God forever and ever and ever. Isn't that beautiful? We shall dwell in this kingdom forever and ever and ever. So let's prepare our minds to stand on this solid rock of Christ. Let's prepare our minds for self-control to grasp this mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice again, I say, rejoice, and let our light shine in this world, this physical world. You are a lamp, you're a believer, you're a lamp on a lampstand, and let your light so shine so that the world may see. And we have the opportunity to share it with one friend in the elevator. Time to go. Your elevator friend gets up, shake your hand and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Yes, Father, we can only say, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done as it is in heaven, where the angels worship and adore you. So on this earth, where your people are seeking your face to build a relationship with you. Thank you for that great privilege. What a privilege to know the truth, to read the Word of God, to drink in the Word of God, to look at the unseen and meditate upon it. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us on the cross, that we may understand this. We lift up our eyes unto Jesus, the rock of our salvation. We built on the spiritual rock, because that is more precious than this earthly life and all its possessions that we have. Take our hands, lead us onto the slippery road, not to forget what is waiting for us. Father, we pray for the leaders of the churches around the world. Give them wisdom so that they may lead your people, so wherever we go, so that we can be a light in this world. We pray for the pastors that will be giving the word. Let them speak as you have spoken to them. Inspire them with wisdom to uplift others as you are calling other people. The harvest is ready. We thank you so much for that great blessing. We praise and we honor and we worship you. Father, we thank you for the food that we will enjoy. Thank you that we can worship you. We ask for your blessing, whether we sing, whether we listen, whether we hear, whether we share food, whether we fellowship. Let it all glorify you and nothing else but you. Everything or nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray it. Amen.